This podcast is brought to you by Soapbox. Start your own podcast today at www.soapbox.host.
Welcome back to Wednesday at 9 p.m. Season 2, Episode 7. Coming up on tonight's show, we have Dear Spirit UFOs, learning the Wolfman's favorite snack, and human-wolf hybrid babies. My name is Nick, and joining me are Aaron and Frank.
Wow.
I was, you know, hooks are my favorite thing to write for this.
It's all downhill after the hooks, though, right? Just...
Yeah, oh yeah.
Great hook.
I should be like a YouTube thumbnail creator.
Yeah, if only we had the video format for this, we could have great, like open mouth, like, thumbnails.
AI images, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, we do have the pictures that we submit alongside the episodes. I'm sure we could just make one of them, like, Frank reacting.
That would be very funny. Why we do that for this episode?
You reacting to a human wolf hybrid baby?
Yeah, like, okay.
We can make it work.
Everyone who's listening will see that in their app right now. So it'll be one of our faces like reacting and like a dumb AI generated picture in the background, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You think that'll get us more or less viewers?
On a list.
Or listeners, rather.
On a list. It'll get us on a list.
True.
But anyway, as is per tradition, shout out to my mother, who I don't know if she's listened to all the Zanfretta part 1 and 2, but hopefully she has. And shout out to David Hoy, if you're still listening. I think you're going to be a senior, school starting soon. So let us know if you need any help with the computer science demons.
Yeah, was it computer science? I think, right?
I don't remember.
Actually, I don't know. What was his major?
We can check his LinkedIn. It's fine.
Yeah. Or we could like not expose his private details on the podcast.
Everyone right. Go to linkedin.com/in/ I don't know.
Shout out to Troy from Nick, of course, as is tradition.
Yep.
And shout out again to Fallon, my fiance. I don't know if she's listened to any episodes since. We still have to listen to some of the audio from the Dr. Best house, so she's got a lot of catching up to do, but there's never a better time to start. And Frank, I think you have some shout outs, although your face is very blank right now.
Shout out to Sarah and shout out to Cameron. Thank you, Cameron, for joining us for the past 2 episodes.
Sure. Yes, it was a great time.
Yes, I had a lot of fun. I don't know if anyone else did or the listeners will have, but I'm sure there'll be more times like that. That's all for me.
And shout out to Marvin.
Yes.
I'll play WoW with you eventually.
Perfect.
Now he has to listen to this episode.
I'll tell him.
At least a 5-minute intro.
Yeah, right.
But all right. Without further ado. This is our first, I don't think it will be our best, but it's our first Dogman episode.
Is that true?
Personal favorite. I think so.
You're right. I was thinking of the Native American skinwalkers, but no.
Yeah, skinwalkers are slightly different.
Yeah.
But this is our first Dogman, werewolf, dog woman, as we will see, episode. Which is very near and dear to my heart and to Frank's. We love these stories. Aaron, you've probably just heard us say random nonsense about some of this kind of stuff over the
past
few years.
And I'm ready for another hour of it.
As if the many hours before wasn't enough. But we will be going over some stories in a book titled I Know What I Saw by the legendary researcher Linda Godfrey.
Amen. Well known in the field.
Oh, very well known.
Any relation to Gilbert?
Yeah, the same person.
Yep.
I wish I could do a Gilbert Gottfried impression.
Please try. Please.
And not complete. No. I don't think I could do it well enough because I was going to like just read out like the title of the book.
Please.
But I don't feel confident. No. Maybe if we hit 100 listeners for this episode.
Wow.
I'll do it.
One day. Yeah. So like at some point, 10 eventually. Years from now, you'll have to come back. Yeah.
Sadly, Linda Godfrey is no longer with us. Passed away a couple years ago, but her research lives on. And she is known for this. She's known for, I think, what really broke the like ceiling, the glass ceiling, but I guess that's not quite the right usage, was the Beast of Bray Road story, which I think it very similar dogman encounters in Wisconsin, Michigan. This is another book of hers titled I Know What I Saw. It'll be linked in the... there's a lot of dogman stories. And I'd like to first take us into a story called The Wernersville Dog Woman. Slightly different.
Nick, can I just pause you there for a sec?
Sure.
So I don't know if you're going to get into this as you tell the stories, but for me and for the listeners at home, what is a dog man? Is it just what it sounds like? A dog man?
Or? Yes. A dog man, werewolf, all the same thing in the sense Got of it. Like how it looks.
Okay.
But there are, you know, experiences people have with them, like in the woods. They're mainly around cemeteries a lot. They're said to be like guardian spirits. Some people say they look like Anubis, like the dog-headed Egyptian god. So there's a lot of different accounts of dog people.
All right. Thank you. You can play now.
Yeah, I'll hit the play button. So, yeah, we have the Wernersville Dog Woman. So, two friends reached out to Linda many like years after their experience because they probably saw her research somewhere and they wanted to reach out because they had this experience that we'll talk about. So, it was October of 1972, and we have a group of three high school boys. I would like to imagine this is what the three of us would do in high school.
Oh, yeah.
And they're driving in the area of Wernersville, Pennsylvania. And I can put a map. I didn't put a map in right now, but we'll put it in the show notes. And it's, of course, around the time of Halloween. So very cheesy, but they weren't doing your usual Halloween shenanigans. So we have Terry. And then his friends, Alan and Barry, who she called them A and B, but I didn't want to keep saying A and B. So Alan and Barry are pseudonyms of Terry's friends. So as I said, Linda talked with Terry and Alan, actually conducting interviews via the phone, over email. But apparently Barry's whereabouts are unknown. We don't know what happened to Barry. But around this time, there were whispers of a dog woman roaming near South Mountain, which is near Reading, Pennsylvania. If you've heard of like, you know, the Reading Railroad, I think that's a like a Monopoly square.
It is, but I don't know if it's named after that.
Probably is. Rail, Pennsylvania, a lot of industry back in the day.
It's actually a lot of them are named after the New Jersey boardwalk. But
okay, you Jersey elitist.
We don't talk about New Jersey.
Or Bruno. Sorry.
But people said that this beast, this dog woman, would lurked around the grounds of an abandoned resort complex called the Grandview Sanatorium, which was apparently raised in a controlled raise. It wasn't like arson or anything. In 1967. So only several years prior, this building was burned down.
Sanatorium.
Yeah, so I don't know why it was called a Grandview Sanatorium, but a resort complex.
Interesting. Maybe it was a sanatorium first or like second?
Yeah.
Because that implies what? Like recovering from consumption in the olden days, right?
Well, this isn't like that olden days.
Yeah, I mean, well, who knows how long this the sanatorium was around. If it was raised in the 60s.
I believe it was built in the 20s.
Gotcha. A sanatorium featured in what episode was it? It was your episode,
Rolling Hills Asylum.
One of our very Probably in within our first 10, right?
I think it was episode 12.
Never mind. Episode 12. Always a spooky setting, though.
Yeah. And so the legend goes that the creature, this dog woman, appeared at a stone wall that contained a chamber with what do we think's in the chamber? Any guesses?
Chains or shackles.
Close. Aaron?
See, I was going the direction of like a grave or like a casket or something.
So Frank's a little closer. It's actually a massive iron meat hook.
Ooh.
Naturally.
And so there's kind of an urban legend around the meat hook that I'll talk about. So allegedly, an unknown killer murdered 5 people, butchered them, and stored them in that chamber.
Ooh.
And on dark nights, muffled screams from his victims were alleged to be heard.
Is that just Dead by Daylight?
I don't know.
This also sounds like the Cropsey story from Staten Island.
Yeah, kind of. But Linda points out in her book that apparently a reporter was quoted as saying that the story is bunk. So no basis to that. But of course, you know, the urban legend adds to the spookiness of the dog woman. But so our trio, Terry, Alan, and Barry, head off at dusk in search of the dog woman. Funny enough, this was actually not their first attempt. They had tried to go find the creature a few times beforehand. So this wasn't their first rodeo looking for it. And the reason is Alan heard people talking about it on the bus. So he was like, oh, we should check it out.
That's crazy.
And so, you know, being high school seniors, they hop in Alan's green Chevy pickup, Barry's shotgun, Terry's seated like in the middle, and they head out. So they found that stone wall pretty easily that I mentioned earlier, because it's like 8 to 10 feet tall. Can't really miss it. And they started to slow down as they approached the chamber. And as they crept by it, they're still in the truck and they hear this awful noise that Terry described as, quote, simultaneously a deep roar and a fierce growl.
Ooh.
And then Terry hears Barry gasp and Barry tells, I wish I didn't make them rhyme. Barry tells Alan and Terry that there's a, quote, large fur-covered creature standing on its hind legs. And it was screaming at them from atop the stonework. And before the three of them could react, it jumped off the wall, landing with heavy thuds on the pavement while still just screaming at them.
Oh my God.
I know, pretty terrifying. So Barry yells at Alan to hit the gas, and without hesitation, Alan just floors it, and they go down this narrow kind of country road. However, for several hundred feet, the creature kept pace.
Oh.
So maybe it was a black-eyed kid.
Classic.
Who knows? But eventually, they lost track of it. But as it was chasing them, it was really close to the rear bumper and it was still just yelling and screaming. And Terry said that after this, Alan had mentioned that he could hear the footfalls on the asphalt as it gave chase and was running after the truck. Admittedly, Terry said, or it's unfortunate, Terry never saw the creature because he was seated in the truck. Like he was in the middle. Old trucks, there could be like seats in the middle, like in the front.
Mm-hmm.
So Alan's driving and saw it, and Barry's in shotgun, so he could see it, but Terry couldn't. And he even confesses he was too afraid to even look anyway. So frankly, I would be pretty scared too. Like this giant thing jumps off a stone wall and starts screaming at you and chasing your friends in a truck. All you need is to go through a bunch of doors and you have a Scooby-Doo chase scene.
I wonder if anyone, like, there's a lot of, we've seen a lot of chase scenes where it's like, oh, yep, they're driving and the thing is keeping pace. I wonder if anyone's ever tried to just like brake check things. Like,
you're probably
they're going
too
like 60 miles an hour and they just slam on their brakes and this thing just goes flying.
What do you think would happen?
Probably destroy the back of your truck.
Phases through the car into it.
Yeah, it runs through it. Well, it's interesting that it's just keeping pace. I mean, we could.
Yeah. So after the creature stopped, so the trio eventually lost it, Alan, for some reason, wanted to turn around to try to look for it one more time. I don't know why. But as they're driving back, and despite Terry and Barry's very strong opposition, Barry reluctantly shines a flashlight that's plugged into the cigarette lighter of the truck out of the windows so they can try to see what is out where the stone wall is. They didn't see anything, but they could still hear growling, and Alan said he saw a pair of glowing eyes. So after this, and hearing these noises again, Terry and Barry told Alan to gas it once more. He obliged, and at that point, the flashlight just falls from Barry's hands and it's still in. It's just banging on the truck as they're driving away. So that's the story of these three. Terry swears that what he says is the absolute truth, that they did experience this. Obviously, he didn't see what it was, but he is steadfast in his view that this happened to the three of them, and Alan obviously could corroborate, but and we don't know where Barry is.
So a handful of little details in the story ring true to me. Now, I know it's crazy to believe in dogman stories, but just some little details like wanting to turn around and go back. I've heard that many, many times from people that see crazy stuff. The thing that immediately jumped to mind was in the Mothman story when a young couple similarly
like the original one?
Yeah, the original in the 60s.
Yeah.
In Point Pleasant, West Virginia. Yeah, West Virginia. They see like a huge dog on the side of the road or something, like dead. Mm-hmm. And then they, for whatever reason, decide to turn around and drive past it again, and it's missing. So right. I've also heard that a lot about like people who see stuff on roads, paranormal stuff. So that's interesting. Also, whenever you hear stuff about creatures or entities chasing people and keeping pace, it makes you wonder, can they not go faster? Can they not catch up? Are they purposefully keeping pace?
I don't know how fast. It doesn't say how fast they were going either. Like, if they were just going like 20, like, that's fine. But if they were going like 60, and it was keeping pace, then we have a real problem.
But you know what I mean? Like, if it could keep pace, surely it could catch up, right? Like, what are the chances that the fleeing group of people is moving at the maximum speed that the entity can go?
I mean, if you take this at face value, my thought is, if this is some like guardian dog spirit, which a lot of stories are, it might just want them to go away.
Yeah.
It doesn't want to do anything, but it just might want them, it might want to scare them off and just get them away.
I mean, that makes sense. Again, agreed if you believe any of this at all, but given that they went back and it didn't attack them again, but it just kind of growled.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, it sounds like it did a good job.
Yeah. Plus, if you kill the people that were encroaching on your territory or like going too close to wherever this thing or whatever this thing guarding, dead people can't really relay the message to not go around places.
True. So, and if they were found near there, then you'd bring more people there.
Are you saying
they'd be like, oh, I want to hear about Dog Man?
Well, no, I mean like there. Police and things like that.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
But. Dead men tell no tales, or should I say dog men tell no tales and women?
And they might not have tails. Who knows?
True. But yeah, why is this a dog woman? Is it because it screams?
That's just the. Oh my God. That was just a legend. It was just the legend of that there was a dog woman.
And they didn't point out any particularly female.
No. So that was actually something that was mentioned. I don't know if they mentioned it or if it was an observation that Linda made that they never said anything in particular about, like, oh, it definitely had like these like female physical characteristics.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean,
now it could also just be like a big animal, right? It could be just a wild animal with that's like deformed.
Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if you look at a dog, like just like straight up look at the dog and not like be inspecting it, you can't really tell if it's a male or female dog.
Yeah, so, like, that's fair.
It's not like you're looking at a dog and all of a sudden it's got some features that a male dog wouldn't have or vice versa.
You're saying that there aren't humanoid looking dog women with humanoid looking female attributes is what we're getting at.
I mean,
wink, wink.
I don't know what to think because this is the first story, but
yes.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, it might just not be apparent at all.
So it's not a furry. I think we're clear on
that. If it is, then, you know, we got bigger problems.
Yeah, well, I'd be more afraid of a furry in the 70s than an actual dog woman.
True.
But yeah, I think great story. Also, it was around Halloween time. So, you know, even spookier things going on. So I think I thought it was pretty nice to start us off. But now I'll take us to the Deer Man, which this was insane. I maybe should have put this last.
Oh, but, boy. Okay.
But it's kind of short. So, according to a Canadian ethnologist and linguist named Basil Johnston, there is a legend of a deer man spirit in the Ojibwe tribe in the northern forests of the United States and Canada. So I guess southern Canada. And apparently this deer man spirit is associated with a, quote, skycraft that is described as a closed clamshell.
Here we go.
And so Johnston says this story of a young Ojibwe man named Eshkikbug, I think. And he witnessed 10 beautiful young women come out of this skycraft to play and dance. And a deer man then appeared to Eshkikbug and helped him flirt and mingle with one of the sky people, eventually leading to her becoming his wife. So, very interesting so far. So, Eshkikbug was also given the power to transform into shapes of various animals. And in one instance, it's not described the instance that this happened, but he could turn into a tree.
Interesting.
I don't know for what reason or why, but in one case, he was given the ability to turn into a tree. This sounds very like Greek god.
Also like the little people legends, turning into tree stumps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true. So this clamshell-shaped craft is said to be composed of, quote, shining rainbow material with dully glowing sides. So sounds like a UFO, right?
It does.
Like your typical classic UFO. And apparently its main purpose was to travel to the moon and back to Earth.
I love this.
And so according to Johnston, what could it want?
Yeah, what could it possibly want?
Oh, we'll get there.
Wait a minute. There's a problem with this, but we'll wait to the end.
Yep. According to Johnston, the propulsion system of the Skycraft was operated by sound via a song that is sung by the young women that I mentioned
what?
Before. So that's how it's propelled. Now, Eshkekbug and his wife, this beautiful young woman from the sky, had a son named Juano Gizig. I don't know if that's the correct Native American pronunciation, but we're going to go with Juano Gizig. And apparently that means blue sky. And he was described only as, quote, tall. That's it. And, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that after this last part of the story.
Wait, like tall when he was born?
I don't know.
Okay.
He was described as tall. The story continues with Juano Gizig riding to the moon with his mother.
Sick invite.
To meet his grandparents, of course, on the moon. And then he gets sent back to Earth to get his father, Eshkekbug. And while he's doing that, he also needs to gather every bird species and bring it back to the moon.
Wow.
Comments, questions, concerns?
Yeah, I'm concerned. Concerned for this Canadian man that just is spewing this. I'm sorry, Nick. I will, you know, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on the first story. Like, okay, maybe there is this creature that's chasing. I don't believe a word of this story. As entertaining as it is.
I loved this one. It was so funny.
Oh, it is.
But also think about this. I just want you to think about this for a second. Eshkekbug, this Ojibwe man, mating with this woman from the sky, and he has a son who's very tall. And Linda made this connection too, I think, unless it was the Canadian guy. Sounds like Nephilim to me. There are a lot of Native American legends with giants. And if he's described as tall and that's it, he must be really tall. And Linda points that out. So maybe this is like a mix of Native American legend that got filtered in with Christianity during like colonial times.
I don't remember this in the Bible.
You didn't read the book of Enoch?
You didn't read the book of Ojibwe?
In the Dead Sea Scrolls? I have a lot of comments in this one. I'm just going to go through them. It. Bang, bang, bang. So, Skycraft, Native Americans. Interesting. We often hear of supposedly Native tribes across the world, North America, South America, Australia, the Aboriginals there have legends that sound to modern day people like ancient alien stuff, ancient aliens visiting, sky people. Beautiful young woman coming out of the Skycraft. I wish there was more detail there. Do they look
10
like,
of them.
Yeah, 10. Do they look like Native Americans? Do they not look like that? Do they look like a different race of people? Do they look fully human? Do they look like gray aliens? I love how the deer man...
Are they tall?
Yeah, like the deer man that's just a supporting character here, he just shows up.
He's like, yep.
Is that a man with a deer head? Why does he have the charisma? But also...
Riz.
Yes, thank you, the Riz. Why is the deer man able to riz up the alien women? Also, though, this connects like shapeshifter. This connects to shapeshifter legends in Native American stories. Next to little people stories who can shapeshift into trees and tree stumps. The moon travel is impossible because, as we know from my research, which used to be viewable at hollowmoon.info until I forgot to renew my ownership and is now like parked by someone else. Women are not allowed on the moon. Do you guys remember that?
True. I actually have the presentation.
You still have the presentation? There's a whole slide on that.
I'm pretty sure.
No women allowed.
But like the undoctored version.
Oh boy.
Oh.
And for your point, Nick, about the giants, that is very interesting. It does sound like that. Though I'm only familiar with the legends of male sons of God coming down and meeting with human women instead of the
opposite. The other way around.
But it is interesting that it is similar to that.
I'm trying to see back in the book because I thought that... Oh, yeah. So I'll just read you this little snippet. Linda Godfrey, don't sue us from beyond the grave. She says, quote, "The Ojibwe story presents another parallel to the Genesis passage that is actually an interesting turnabout. Here we still have celestial entities descending to Earth, but this time it's the daughter of a god and descends with the mates, or descends and mates with a son of men."
Oh, yeah. So they point it right out. Yeah, this is so interesting.
She does mention that it is a little different.
That is interesting. It does make you wonder, like, what cross-contamination has there been when different cultures come in contact, right, with each other?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Aaron, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I've said my piece of, I don't believe this.
Fair enough.
Plus, there's really loud fireworks, so I apologize again.
Nah,
it's like literally at the Rotterdam Mall. So like,
oh, that's pretty close.
2 minutes away.
They're celebrating Wednesday at 9 p.m.
I had to do a little
victory.
Or the
fact that there's a carnival.
That might be it. So. Well, they can't stop us from going on to the third story. I guess they could.
I like the title of this. Is the title of the story the name of the creature?
No.
Oh, okay.
The main character here is named Brad, which I think is also a pseudonym. And he had three encounters with this creature, but I only am covering the third encounter because I found it the most interesting.
You read the other ones?
Yeah, and I thought this one was the best one. So we're in 2016, so not too long ago, in rural Western Michigan. It's about end of May, and we're around 9 p.m. Someone check if May 29th, 2016 was a Wednesday. Brad was having a fire with his dad by a creek.
Wait, say that again?
May 29th, 2016.
Is a Sunday.
Sunday.
Dang it.
It's fine.
We're close. So anyway, Brad's having a fire with his father down by a creek on their property. However, for the uneducated, Brad, being from a rural area, does call it a crick.
Is that really?
Yeah, he actually says crick. So anyway, and they eventually get low on wood, and his dad asks him to go get more from behind the pole barn. And a pole barn is just one of those really big, kind of long barns. I looked it up. It looked like a normal barn.
Okay.
And from the previous encounters that he had that we won't go into, he was kind of scared of the woods now. And so he just said to his dad he'd go in a few minutes. And so eventually, Brad is walking to the back of the barn, he hears rustling and a low growl. But then when he ends up reaching the back, it all stops. There's no noise. He lights up a cigarette and looks out into the woods. But everything is silent. So Oz effect has kicked in. And then this is weird. He says he hears the sound of a zipper, like zipping up.
What?
Is it? Or unzipping. It makes the same similar noise.
Nope. Well, does it specify? It'd be very interesting if it specified it was like an unzip. I feel like isn't an unzip more ominous than the zip?
Like he was Like something came out.
Yeah, right. Like something's being revealed.
Let me see.
Maybe he's just got to use the bathroom.
Well, he's wearing like a onesie.
It was a zipper being zipped up.
Maybe he was done using the bathroom.
So it was the zipping up, not the...
Interesting that it's specified.
Yep. And so he waits for a minute. And then he looks around to where he heard the noise and sees movement off to his right, out of his periphery. But it's pitch black. So he really can't see much of anything. And the air began to smell foul, like, quote, rotten guts and urine.
Aaron, you're right.
I don't even have the show notes open.
That's so funny.
And so Brad gets his flashlight out and shines it around, and he hears a deep growl. And then he says, a deep growl like a raccoon would make? I don't know what he means by that. I've never heard a raccoon growl. Aaron?
I have also not heard a raccoon growl, because usually when a raccoon growls, it means you're way too close to it. Or it has rabies.
We'll play a growl right now. Ooh, grrr. Scary.
Weird.
Weird.
And so he hears the growl come from where he's hearing this rustling. And he shines his light there, and he sees red, shiny eyes that are about 5.5 feet off the ground. And Brad explains that what he saw didn't have any paws, but long arms with hands that were more akin to claws. But he's not really freaked out about like the eyes, because he's seen animals' eyes like reflect this way. Like there are animals out there whose eyes reflect weirdly when there's light shown on them. However, this thing then stands up on 2 feet, and it's about 8 to 8.5 feet tall.
Oh.
So,
wow.
Not your typical animal. He says it growled at him, turned around, and just walked away.
Walked away?
Walked away.
Ugh.
He went out there the next day to where he heard the noise to try to see if he could find anything again. So again, to what you were saying, going back after. But all he finds is a deer's skin and nothing else. And like that's it. Just the skin. Like the rest of it was all gone. Even the head was gone.
What? Like a deer skin was, I'm a like city boy. So I don't know what goes into that.
Like a hide.
Yeah. Like, wow.
Sort of. And apparently, two neighbors reported to Brad that they heard howls, but only at dusk, coming from the woods that Brad's family owns. And to wrap this up, Brad noted that he would set out apples for the deer every week, and on one particular day, noticed that all the apples were gone, and where each apple was, a rock replaced it.
That's creepy.
And Brad says that there used to be a lot more deer around their property, but now it's rare to see one or two. And he was told by a family member that much of the woods that they own is on an Indian burial ground.
Classic.
Very cliche. However, Linda did look into this, and the basis for that claim actually is true. There was a large massacre of Native Americans, specifically the Potawatomi tribe, and they were buried, or seemingly were buried, in those woods.
Interesting. It sounds like a skinwalker, right?
Sort of, yeah. But like eating the apples, that's very Bigfoot behavior. That's our big smelly friend.
Yeah. Replacing them with rocks.
Whoa. Who said he ate the apples?
True, you could have just stole them.
Maybe he turned them to stones.
Oh.
Or maybe he grabbed all the apples to lure in more deer. He's like, oh, sweet, free bait. And just grabbed a bunch of apples.
But why replace it with rocks?
I don't know. And why do any of it? Why was there a zipper?
Yeah, that I don't know.
Because he was getting done using the bathroom. And deer will go right through you.
Deer will yeah, because he liquefied them. So I think, yeah, the apple thing is really weird, and also the zipper. Those are the two really weird things here.
That is weird.
The Indian burial ground cliche, and actually kind of being a little true, does make it seem more like a skinwalker, I suppose.
But where isn't an ancient Indian burial ground when you think about it?
True. There's definitely one where your apartment is with all the hijinks that happened to you.
I hope so. That's who stole my bike. Indian ghosts. Oh,
that'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
Was there a rock in its place?
Funny, no, you
there
say,
was a tire, though.
There was a tire.
That was probably just the deer man.
Ghost tire.
With a ghost broken bike lock.
When I stomped on it, my foot went straight through.
That's how you broke your foot.
That's how. This is a very interesting one. I think,
yeah, I like this one.
Why the deer skin? That's the part that jumps out.
That's also weird. With no head.
Yeah.
That is also kind of weird.
That makes you think skinwalker, right?
That kind of goes back to, if you think way far back, to when we did the Kinderhook creature, when the guy, I think his name was also Brad, that wrote the book.
That sounds right. Yeah.
He went back to some guy's property and there was like, oh, like a wolf up in the trees or something, or not a wolf, like a fox or something up in the trees, like dead.
Oh, that sounds, it's
so it's very like this weird kind of mutilation that seems way off base for like a normal animal.
Oh, I didn't realize though you were thinking of this deer skin as like a leftover from what this creature did. I was thinking of it as related to the actual creature.
Oh, like it shed its skin?
Or yeah, like it's a skinwalker that used a deer skin and took on the form of an animal or something. I don't know.
No, I was thinking more like it's some creature, skinwalker or otherwise, that like killed the deer but just like absolutely destroyed it.
I see.
Its hide back.
I don't know which side's weirder or scarier.
Yeah.
I got a question, and I apologize for my ignorance ahead of time. Would it be something a Native American might do way back in the day, is to like skin a deer pelt and like wear that as like a coat,
maybe,
kind of thing? Like if it's on an Indian burial ground, could it be a ghost that has manifested itself and, you know,
as a deer skin?
Doesn't no. And then made a deer skin. Like, you know, sometimes ghosts don't know they're ghosts, Frank.
The ghost maybe killed a deer?
Yeah. Like let's say the ghost took on a form as like skinwalkers take on forms, you know, maybe this ghost could take on a physical form and didn't know it was a ghost and, you know, just started going about its day and you know what it saw? A deer. You know what it was? Cold. So you skin the deer and you get nice and warm. And then
I will
who's
say,
the ghost? Is
it,
the creature?
It is the end of May. It's not very cold.
Well, if it's a ghost, I don't
maybe to a ghost it would be.
Wait,
I don't know.
Are you saying the 8 foot tall creature is the ghost of a Native American, or is it unrelated to the creature?
Could be. No, it could be. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Interesting.
I think because the whole Indian burial ground thing seems to be kind of true, it might, again, be our classic guardian spirit. And again, it didn't hurt him. It growled and walked away. It didn't chase him or anything.
Okay, but something hurt a deer, man. You can't deny that.
Something hurt a deer, yes. I agree, but I don't think these like guardian spirits or whatever you want to call them, I don't think they want to like hurt people. They just don't want people there. They probably don't think much of deer.
That's fair. Maybe he was hungry.
But then the apple's going away. Who knows?
Maybe he was hungry.
Well, that implies like intelligence, really? Right? If the apples are replaced with rocks, that's not like an animal doing that. That would be some form of intelligence.
Which lends me to the, or leads me to the kind of guardian spirit thing. But maybe it's a more than that, because why would it also take apples?
Yeah, it's either a person or something that is somewhat intelligent.
Physical.
Yeah. So something physical and less potentially less intelligent than the person. Aaron Dreers.
Aaron, where were you in 2016 on May 29th around 9 p.m.?
I declined to comment at this time.
We'll get on to our next story, which is not dog-man related, but dire dogs. So this story is called the New York Dire Dog of the Corn.
What?
I love Linda's titling.
Those are great. Yeah, that's great. What is a dire dog?
Like, you know, like a dire wolf, like a very big wolf that's aggressive, kind of like that.
Isn't that Game of Thrones? Dire wolves?
No, I'm pretty sure they existed back centuries ago. I think they did. I don't know if they're completely made up. I think they're real, or were at one point.
Cool.
Anyway, so we're in 2012 in Medina, New York. So Medina is halfway between Buffalo and Rochester, so much more out west, very western New York. And the experiencer and his girlfriend were driving near Medina around 10 p.m. and were traveling via country roads instead of the thruway. And I'm very happy he actually said thruway, because it is the thruway out there. And that I was like, yes, represent. And so they decide to stop along one of the many fields surrounding the countryside that they're on. But for whatever reason, I don't know why, his girlfriend explained the type of corn that the farmers were growing. And the guy was curious. He was like, you know, why not? I'm going to check out the corn. It's like the corn that you only feed to the animals. So it's the kind of really hard, like thick kernels.
At 10 p.m.
on a country road.
On a Wednesday?
On a Wednesday.
At midnight?
Some people are...
With a Ouija board.
Some people are just carefree like that. Like, hey, we got nowhere to be. Let's just stop in the middle of the road and check out some...
Corn. So he approaches the edge of the field and his girlfriend stays in the car. She didn't even come out to like look with him. It was just
him.
And while he's out there, his girlfriend reports that she sees this creature leap across the road. And then the guy, the boyfriend sees it running incredibly fast across the field.
Nope.
And he said that it looked like it was covering large distances in seconds and looked like, quote, a hairless wolf on steroids with an enormous, almost horse-like head. So that's a weird description.
Ooh.
He couldn't really like see it very well. He said it maybe was like 7 to 9 feet, but that was it. He didn't say like long or tall. Like imagine it's on all fours and it's also 9 feet tall.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what the 7 to 9 feet was, but that's how, what he describes. Also weird, he says it made no sounds as it was running through the field, and it barely even touched the ground when it moved. Like when it ran, it like did like a gallop or whatever it was doing, and then it was like all four limbs were parallel to the ground when at like every time it moved. So that's weird. And he was just standing there mesmerized, and like his girlfriend was screaming at him to get in the car and he could not hear a thing. He was like in a trance. Eventually, he does snap out of the stupor he was in. And he says that apparently his girlfriend very sternly said his full name and that snapped him out of it. And then Classic. He rushed back to the car and then they got out of there.
Oh, man. This isn't too far from us. I mean, it's still hours away, but...
I mean, at least it's in the same state.
Yeah. Ew, what the hell is this?
Yeah, this weird hairless wolf on steroids that's running around very gracefully and making no noise.
See, I don't know if it's running so gracefully. I think maybe it's got like an aura of silence around it because he couldn't hear his girlfriend. Maybe this thing was just like creating like a space of silence so that it could be undetected.
Perhaps.
Interesting. Yeah, like Oz effect, like everything went quiet, but even the people.
The movement. Yeah.
I've heard a lot of stuff where people see things and the physical movements of like arms and legs is not matching the actual movement or the distance moved.
Oh, interesting.
And also there's a little bit of like hovering a few inches off the ground. It's almost like faking it. It's like pretending to... It's pretending it's a fully physical creature that moves normally, right? It's yeah. doing the motions, but the way it's moving is not through normal physical, you know...
Mechanics,
that's the word.
So are you saying that it has bad CGI?
It's basically bad CGI in reality, yeah. It's bad PGI, paranormal
graphics.
GI track. Well, I mean, what are the implications of that, right? Like, it's moving very often. The stuff like this moves faster than it should be able to move if it wasn't actual normal mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it pretending to like move then? Why doesn't it just stand in a T pose and just glide around?
Well, it said it was running incredibly fast, so maybe it was going so fast that he couldn't actually really see how fast it was moving, like the limbs. It's like, you know when a blade is spinning so fast, it just looks like it's going really slow?
Yeah.
Maybe it was a kind of similar thing to that.
Yeah, but do you believe, if that's the case, do you believe that? Do you believe that's a real physical creature? Like, wouldn't... Like, think of all the implications that, like, there would be, like, so much force there. There'd be noise there, right? It was one of the things here that there wasn't, it made sound.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying, I think things can still, like, be physically happening, but they can also be supernatural. It doesn't have to be, like, you can have something be supernatural, but interact in the physical world still.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, everything's like that, but
sure,
we hear stories of Bigfoot do crazy things physically, yeah. And he's supernatural in many cases,
not according to some trains of thought. Dumb people.
Also, poltergeists,
yep,
are a very classic example of not physical beings physically interacting.
Yeah.
So it might not, you know, it's the classic, it might not obey our laws of physics, but can still interact with our world.
Just selectively?
Yeah.
Convenient. I mean, yeah, well, it's a convenient answer, and it would explain it. It could just choose how much to exist in our reality.
I'm gonna go back to my stance, I think, last week, where, you know, you've got a bunch of, or it may not have been my stance, but a bunch of trickster beings being like, oh, I kind of want to be seen, but not fully. If you want this person to notice you to the point where they don't know what you are, but not to the point where they are like dumbfounded and will not like continue to live after that.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to kind of mimic the physical world as best you can to make yourself seem realistic, to have some explanation like, oh, it must have been a really big wolf. or oh, it must have been this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're kind of unsure, and it blends like reality of what was that thing. That's my take on this frame.
Do you think, Aaron, that if the couple wasn't there, that creature would still be there and would still like have run across the road?
Why would it? For fun?
Do you think that, I guess what I'm getting at is...
I mean, that's a, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear, it doesn't make a sound.
Yes. Sort of thing. And in that case, we know the answer is, yeah, it does. But for these things, I want to like give away what I'm getting at here. So, Aaron, do you think this has to do with... Did this happen because the people were there and it was trying to be seen on purpose?
I think so. Because if we're going with this concept of guardian spirits, maybe that's, you know, like maybe the spirit's looking out for the farmers. Like, hey, don't be messing with the corn.
Well, I'm just saying that dog men are very typically called guardian spirits. This was more akin to like a wild dog. Like, I didn't think of this as guarding anything. Cause it wasn't like a dog man. It was more bestial. It wasn't described in any humanoid way.
Gotcha. Except that it was hairless.
Well, I mean, there are hairless cats.
Okay. Well, how often do you see hairless dogs, though?
That's a good point.
Just saying. But I think it was because the people were there and it was trying to spook them off. Like, hey, stay away from this place. Like, if the people weren't there, A, I don't know if this creature would be running by. But B, I don't know if it would need to physically appear. Like, if it's this supernatural being, it doesn't need to appear. Like, it could if it wanted to, but there wasn't really much of a want in that scenario, like, other than just for fun, you know? That's my take.
It's interesting. I always wonder, like, how much of this stuff, how much of paranormal things exist? Are ghosts hanging out in places where people aren't? And sometimes people just happen to see them. They happen to be in the right place at the right time. Or are ghosts and other paranormal things only taking place where people are, like where human presences and human attention is?
I'm going to have to go ahead and say that ghosts and stuff still do interact even when there's not people around, because eventually people will be around. And like, let's say a ghost really wanted to mess with you, and I think that this has happened plenty of times before, but there are often the cases with like dolls where all of a sudden the doll is now moved to the other side of the bed to the little girl coming back in and being like, wait, I didn't leave my doll at the foot of my bed, I left it at the pillow. Like, even though the girl wasn't there at the moment, the spirit still interacted and did what it wanted to do.
True, but that's still within like a human presence. You know what I mean?
You're saying like right now in the woods are yes. There ghosts hanging out?
Yes.
I don't think we'll ever know unless we go in those woods. And then
it's like,
and
then if we do and
something
Bigfoot.
Happens, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, right. It's like, yeah, Schrodinger's Bigfoot, I guess, because yeah. You don't, like, we're literally talking about like, we can't observe.
You don't know
what
we don't observe.
We don't observe. I think it's an interesting question.
Well, observation changes the outcome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I personally don't think that there are ghosts and creatures like this, dogmen, hanging out where no one can see them. I think that all paranormal things, and that's a big bucket, for them to stick to it, are intricately tied to human consciousness and don't exist in a vacuum. They have to exist near and in relation to people. But, right? I mean, it's like you can mock a book for having bad plot. It's like, well, things only happen in this book when the main characters show up. Right? And that's like bad writing, because in real life, you know, things happen even when the main character isn't around. But for spooky things, it does always seem like things only happen when people show up. Now, again,
you hear that?
What?
You hear that, universe? You're lazy writers.
Yeah, honestly, who's writing this season? But at the same time, there's literally no proof, and we can't get proof of that because, again, what we just said. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just don't believe that these are things that happen randomly for no reason, and we happen to come across them.
I would agree with that. I still do think that if these creatures wanted to, or creatures or beings or whatever we're going to call them, I think they could do whatever they wanted. Like, if for some reason, like, let's say there is a ghost of a dead person that wanted to skip stones one more time, you know, because it was their favorite activity. They could just show up at a lake that nobody's at or around and just skip a couple stones and nobody would know.
That's really interesting.
So, yeah, that's what I'm going to disagree with you that nothing, that you're saying nothing can happen without humans. I'm going to say stuff can happen. We just may not know.
Yeah. Well, I guess we literally we cannot find out.
Yeah, this was very productive. Yeah. We've determined we don't know what we don't know.
And we can never know.
So we can't
talk. We can never know. Well, I'm glad that that was very thought-provoking. I'm curious at where this last story is going to take us.
Is it also thought-provoking in another way?
It'll be something. So we have the story of the Texas Lobo Girl. Lobo is wolf in Spanish.
Oh. The short, like, for lobotomy.
Same thing. As we'll see.
That's where the term comes from.
Wait, really?
No.
That'd be cool, though.
What is it?
But now we have to look up what lobotomy actually...
No.
Yeah.
It comes from probably like Lobos or something in Latin, which means like that's where we get frontal lobe. And
it
stuff.
Comes from lobe plus ectomy.
Oh. Lame.
Okay, but what is lobe? Is it Latin? Greek?
An ectomy, I believe, is the term for removing something, right? Or the suffix for removing. Lobe comes from Middle English via Late Latin from Greek lobos. Which means...
Yeah, but what does it mean?
Lobe.
Ah, of course.
So exactly what I said without looking
at
it.
Yeah, but it could have been way more fun if, it came from this, like, this archaic version of, like, Spanish.
But wait, it says the ancient Greek comes from Spanish.
Yes. It comes from the sea people that collapsed the Bronze Age.
It actually comes from the sky people from the Ojibwe tribe.
Oh, yeah.
Traditions.
We digress. We could cut that whole thing if we wanted. But so we have the Texas Lobo Girl. And this could be the root of every dog woman story. There were quite a few in the book.
What a
that
claim.
We didn't get to.
Only the dog women stories?
Only dog women. You'll see why.
Okay.
I want take you back. Taylor Swift said it best. Take you back to the 1830s.
No way she said that.
There's no way she said that.
In that song.
What song?
I don't know. One of her new ones. She says, I wish I could go back to the 1830s, except without all the racists.
Before
or something.
Slavery? Oh, I was going to say.
Without all the racists. Sorry.
No, you're saying in a Taylor Swift song, she literally says, I want to go back to the 1830s.
She has this.
Yeah.
Is the song actually called Racist?
No. I don't know. Okay. Anyway.
We digress again.
We're in the South in the 1830s. In Chickamauga Creek. And there are two trappers, John Dent and Will Marlowe. And they argue over a woman named Molly, who is actually engaged to John. And so, you know, not great here. Like, you're trapping partners and you get the hots for your buddy's fiance. That's pretty messed up.
Yeah.
True. Don't get any ideas.
Yeah, Fallon, you're going to have to worry about me going for Aaron. Sadly, they did end up fighting, and John killed Will. So the guy who was engaged to Molly killed the guy who had the hots for her. And because of this, he fled town. But he eventually snuck back to get Molly, and then they married and eloped to a small colony on Devil's River in Texas. I should mention that the Chickamauga Creek, I believe, was in Georgia. So he went from Georgia to Texas. Molly became pregnant, and while getting help for the delivery, John died in a lightning storm.
What?
Really unfortunate for him.
Did he get struck by lightning, or did like a tree get struck?
Nah, he just died during it.
Just said he died in a lightning storm.
He choked on something. It just happened to be storming outside.
And also, Molly died during birth.
Oh.
But somehow, the child was missing. Allegedly.
What do you mean?
When people went to the house and found Molly's body, there were wolf tracks around her body, but no baby. A decade goes by. People around San Felipe began seeing a human female with long hair running on all fours. Some recalled what happened to Molly and believed that her missing baby was raised by wolves and became this Lobo girl or wolf girl.
What the?
Native Americans in the area also apparently found human footprints in the sand along the riverbanks, and eventually the girl was caught and found to be a, quote, excessively hairy human. She spat at other humans, screamed, and made other animalistic sounds. She was taken to a nearby ranch and just howled all the time. Seemingly to call for her companions to come and get her. Apparently, the ranch was eventually attacked by wolves, and the girl ended up escaping. 7 years go by, and she was found again on the banks of the Rio Grande, nursing two wolf pups. Now, I don't know what that means.
Wait.
I don't know what that means. We'll get back to it. So she's nursing two wolf pups. She gets spotted and gets up and runs off with the pups. Not on all fours, though. She runs.
Are they still attached?
I don't know. So she just scoops them up and they run. She's running just on like two feet, not on all fours. Now we're getting crazy. There's an author from the Texas Folklore Society. And I'm going to give you a pretty long quote. So he's quoted as saying, in the border country, a wolf has occasionally been found with a marked human resemblance. And for many years now, quote, human-faced wolves, so-called, have been considered the final culmination of a Georgia murder and elopement. If a man can bear the mark of the beast, why not beast bear the mark of the man?
Oh.
Speaking only for myself, I will say that despite the fact that over a century has passed since the beginning of the incidents just related, yet during the past 40 years, I have in the Western country met more than one wolf face strongly marked with human characteristics. So the implication here is that Molly's daughter bred with wolves and produced hybrid young.
What? What? What?
Yeah.
All because her mom died in childbirth and her dad died in a lightning storm?
No, and then she was raised by wolves.
Okay, but like, if there were wolf tracks in the house, that either implies a wolf came into the house, saw the baby, and was like, I'm going to raise that, or that this girl in Jersey Devil fashion transformed into a half wolf, half human.
No. She was human.
Oh, she was fully human. Yeah. Okay, but then circling back, this girl then walked out and found the wolves who then adopted her. Like,
it doesn't say where she was giving birth, to be fair.
Well, it sounds like at home, no?
Doesn't mean they were inside.
Yeah, but okay, I guess not, but still, wolf tracks around the body
and no baby
would imply that the wolf went to the girl and then like took care of it, Jungle Book style.
Yes. And then she was captured and then howled for her wolf companions to come get her. They did. And then many more years pass and then she's seen nursing two wolf pups again. I don't know what that implies.
I feel like there's no other reading of that.
Yeah. Well, just weird because she's 17. Like, I don't want to think about that.
Anything I say, I'm going to cut out, so I'm not going to say anything.
Good, yeah. I'm leaving it at that, and that's it.
Okay, so somebody's got to break the silence here. So the implication is then that these were her wolf pup hybrids.
I don't know if these were the hybrids or they were just two wolf pups.
Oh, like she was just like helping out.
And also nursing could mean anything.
I mean, I guess.
This was the weirdest story I read. So I saved it for last, of course.
So Texas Folklore Society, what are they on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Let's dropping the hybrid man wolf pups for a second. That last quote, yet during the past 40 years, I have in the Western country met more than one wolf face strongly marked with human characteristics. Well, that's just creepy. Can you imagine that?
That there are wolf-human hybrids out there?
Aren't there some... I don't know if it's like fake pictures or anything, but... No. I feel like I've seen this in real life. Every once in a while, I will pass dogs that look too much like human faces to me, and it will creep me out. Have you guys ever experienced that?
Maybe you just have like pareidolia or something.
I guess so. You guys, you've never experienced that?
No.
No.
You're like, this dog looks like a human, like this face looks like a human face.
No, when I look at you, I think, wow, what a dog.
Well, I do have that dog in me.
That's true.
Confirmed by the doctor. I've got 6 months.
What?
You guys have really never experienced that?
Yeah, this is got way out of hand really quickly. Like, there have been, I think, instances of like children like being raised in the wild. Like, I think that has happened, but this just goes way, way like over the line.
That is insane. I mean, children being raised by wolves is classic. I mean, that's the traditional story of the founding of Rome. The twins, Romulus and Remus, are raised by the mother wolf. They suckle on the mother wolf. So kind of a...
Nurse.
They nurse on the mother wolf, kind of the reverse scenario here. So there's precedence for this But it's very Texas.
Not the other part.
No, but very Texas to be like the mark of the beast.
Yeah, that's true.
Mark of the man on the beast.
Why not beast bear the mark of the man?
Yeah. Like what? Does he think the mark of the beast quote literally means like an animal? Like what
is he? I don't know. It was the wackiest story in the book. So
this is a great one. This is a great final one.
Yep. But that is it for me. Those are all the stories I got for you guys. Thank you, Linda Godfrey, for all your amazing work. You are missed.
Yes. I hope she's resting in peace with Dogman. Dog gently licking her face.
Now you made it weird.
No, just...
You hate when dogs lick your face.
Yes. That won't be in my heaven. I'll be punting dogs in my heaven.
Oh, my... It'll be Bigfoot licking your
face.
Sorry,
don't listen. Oh, my God. I'll be frolicking through the woods. I'll be frolicking through the Jersey Pine Barrens with Bigfoot.
And the Jersey Devil and Mothman.
Yes, all lined up like Wizard of Oz down the other road.
The lion is definitely Bigfoot.
Yes. Yes.
No, it's Frank.
Wow.
Yeah, Dorothy is Mothman because the red eyes. That is it for tonight. I think, I don't know who's next, but I'm sure we'll have...
Probably me. Mm. I got to see if I can cook this weekend with what I'm going to do next.
Just cook a pot pie.
I'd like to do something about, this is a little bit out there because it's on the edge of conspiracy theories then, but talk about some theories of how the pyramids were actually because there are some supernatural connotations, there's some crazy technological connotations. I just think it would be pretty interesting to talk about. I know it's a little bit outside our wheelhouse.
Only if you promise to go crazy.
I mean, like I said, I'll keep you guys posted.
I don't want to hear any reasonable, they used logs and they rolled things on logs.
They used a lot of slaves.
And that, yeah, boring.
Yeah, that'll be the first 2 minutes, and then we'll get to the crazy stuff.
Awesome. That's it for tonight. Check us out at wednesday@9pm.com. Leave us a comment, rate us 5 stars on whatever you're listening to, whether that be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or otherwise. And I hope you're excited for what next Wednesday brings you. And always remember, don't go back to the growling, horrific dog creature.
Good general advice.
Good night.